Here's the word of God. The same night he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with men, and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." The sun rose upon him as he passed Penuel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel don't eat the sinew of the thigh that is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the thigh. Shall we pray? Father, sometimes we don't know what to ask you, but this time we ask you to let us know how to pray to you. Would you please open our mouth of prayer, that we would ask you to bless us. This is our prayer, that we cannot let you go unless you bless us. We pray for the sake of Christ. Amen. When Jacob was left alone, you know, that's our sin. When Jacob, you know, felt most vulnerable, when Jacob felt threatened to death, out of sudden, just suddenly, God appeared before Jacob. And instantly Jacob realized that it might very well be a once for all chance that he can get his own way by wrestling with God. Simply, tonight I want to observe those two wrestlers together with you. One is Jacob, the other one is God. So there are 4 points. First, Jacob is different than before. Second, Jacob is restless. And third, God is fierce. And fourth, God is healing. So firstly, Jacob is a different man than before compared to 20 years ago. So 20 years have passed since he left his hometown. Why did he have to leave? Because he sinned against whom? Esau. And Esau tried to kill him. That's why Jacob had to leave his hometown. But his life has been eventful, with a lot of strange or even interesting things. He met another wicked person who is his uncle Laban. And he had to work for 14 years in order to have whom? Rachel. Also, he had to wrestle a lot in order to receive material blessing. If I put one more, his children were rowdy and mischievous. To some degree, we can relate to what Jacob went through, can't we? From time to time, God allows us to go through some unpleasant life experiences. So sometimes we shed tears. Sometimes we become angry. Sometimes we become in despair, dismay. But we also know that after all our sufferings are designed for our own good, for our own sanctification. Every once in a while, over the last 20 years, God appeared and helped Jacob, and he gave wisdom to Jacob and blessed him abundantly. So through the course of his life, Jacob learned that God took care of him, even though he felt many times that God was at a far distance from him. So Jacob has matured, he has grown in his faith, and he has become humbled. So God used his domestic conflict to teach him patience. Do you know what domestic conflict are? You know, he had four wives. That was the problem. So he had to deal with the four wives. Also, God used the wicked boss Laban to sanctify Jacob. For example, in our text, verse 10, let me read verse 10. I'm not worthy of the least of all the deeds of steadfast love and all the faithfulness that you have shown to your servant. So Jacob confesses that he doesn't deserve God's help. He acknowledged that he doesn't have anything to claim before God to have or receive the help from God. So we find that Jacob has become a humble man. Also, we find that in the same chapter, Jacob tries to be reconciled with Esau. He had to be because he sinned against Esau. So he sent hundreds of animals to Esau. And he also, you know, confesses or calls himself as Esau's servant. And it is obvious that the grace of God is in operation in the heart of Jacob. If someone says, I don't have a good relationship with other Christian brothers and sisters, then it is hard to say that the person has a good relationship with God. That's what we are called to do. Whenever God's grace is revealed in our heart, we want to be reconciled to other Christians as well. So verse 1, Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's camp." So he called the name of that place Mahanaim, which means two camps of army. So Jacob sees two camps of army consist of angels. So again, God is trying to help him. God wants to assure Jacob that he's going to be okay. So this, you know, scene reminds Jacob of the dream of the ladder 20 years ago. As he was leaving his hometown, he fell asleep one day, and God showed himself to Jacob in his dream. And let me quote quickly, Genesis 28, verse 15. God said to Jacob, "Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." Yes, 20 years have passed, and now I am on my way back to hometown. I am different from 20 years ago. I am more mature than before. Maybe now I'm qualified to come back to my hometown, but I want to make sure if God still remembers his promise. I want to make sure that he would keep his words. By instinct, Jacob knows that something is going to happen tonight. And he knows that he has to be by himself as a different man who is different from Jacob 20 years ago. Secondly, Jacob is a restless wrestler. Here we find a contrast between the, you know, God's protection of Jacob and Jacob's fear of Esau. Verse 7, Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. It is true that Jacob has matured, and it is true that God has blessed Jacob and protected him so far. Nevertheless, to Jacob, that was not enough. Your occasional visitations are not enough. Your help has not been consistent. Your help, your visitations have been always intermittent, on and off. It has always been me eventually who had to deal with all the sufferings. It has always been me who had to go through all the hardships. I am tired of wrestling with my life. Now I see your armies. But so what? Esau is trying to kill me. It's not enough. I am tired of wrestling for my own life. Jacob actually has always been wrestling during his entire life. In other words, he is a lifetime wrestler. He never stopped trying to get his own way by wrestling with anything. So Jacob has been restless. Deep in his heart, there is no peace. From the early childhood, he learned that there is a God who created him. Also, he learned that the same God has already drawn the blueprint for his whole life. To Jacob, that was the fundamental problem with God. Do you remember how Jacob was born? You know, gripping his, you know, twin brother's heel. From the womb, Jacob started to wrestle with anything. But obviously, Jacob got beaten up by Esau. You know, if you remember maybe, Jacob was a man who rather sits down, you know, with his mom over coffee. He wanted to talk with, you know, with his mom about everything. So he was more like kind of feminine or girly style. But Esau was different. He was more masculine, you know, and masculine. He was powerful. So to Jacob, how can I beat this monster, you know, Esau? There was another fatal problem. Isaac was the head of the household. And Isaac, who did Isaac love? Esau or Jacob? Isaac loved Esau because of the food. And Rebekah loved Jacob. Maybe Jacob was more kind of a little bit daughter style. So with all these disappointing circumstances, Jacob was convinced that God needed his help. It is true, Jacob thinking that it is true that he's the planner of my life, but I am the conductor of my own life. It is obvious that he could have done a better job. So I should help him to fulfill his own purposes. So Jacob has been trying to build up his own blessings by his wrestling. He has worked up his own blessings. He wrestled with Esau. He wrestled with Isaac and Laban. And he wrestled for his sweetheart Rachel. And he wrestled for his material blessings. He has wrestled for everything during his entire life. Because to Jacob, God seemed to be so slow. God seemed to be so indifferent to his own plans. God doesn't move fast enough, so I have to help him. God needs my help. So Jacob has been a lifetime wrestler. But what's the result? What's the outcome of his restless wrestling in his entire life? In our text, we can find the answer. Verse 22, the same night, he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and everything else that he had, and Jacob was left alone. Jacob is left alone. I believe that this phrase, Jacob is left alone, can best describe the whole life of Jacob. The outcome is that he has been a wanderer. He has been a vagabond. He hasn't found any peace. He's lonely. He is a lonely man. Do you know what it means to feel lonely? Do you know what it means to feel the overwhelming sense of being left alone? There's no one around you who can sympathize with you, who can help you. You are the only one who should take care of yourself. You're lonely because you are the owner of your life, but you don't have the power to take care of yourself. Jacob comes to a conclusion that it is all because of him. It is all because of God. It is because he has been so slow. So today, in a pitch dark night, when no one is able to recognize anything, out of the blue, all of a sudden, God appears right before Jacob. And immediately Jacob realized that it might very well be the first and last chance that he can change or turn everything upside down. It is the moment. It is the chance that he can get God. It is a greatest chance that he can put all things under his control only if he can beat God. So in our text, verse 24, a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, God could not prevail Jacob. Do you feel? Can you feel this intensity of Jacob's wrestling with God? Or are you familiar with this intense feeling of wrestling with God? Have you ever thought about it? Only if you can steer God into your own ways, then everything will be great. So his loneliness, his restlessness made Jacob a fierce wrestler during his whole time, his entire life. Now is the moment to get God. Thirdly, God is a fierce wrestler. Verse 25, when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Jacob is a restless and fierce wrestler. But we find that God is a fierce wrestler as well. We find that God broke Jacob. God broke Jacob and it hurt so badly. In reality, it was God that Jacob has been wrestling with during his entire life. Underneath his wrestling with Esau, underneath his wrestling with Laban, or underneath his wrestling for Rachel or for blessings, actually, Jacob has been wrestling with God because Jacob could not accept God's providence. Jacob was against God's lordship over him. So Jacob had to fight against God. So it has been God with whom Jacob has been wrestling. And to Jacob, it was not a new experience to wrestle with God tonight. It is so familiar to him because that's what he has been doing in his entire life. He has been fighting against God. Therefore, God had to break Jacob. God had to hurt Jacob. And Jacob lost all his strength. His mind became numb. He cannot speak anything. He cannot think about anything. He cannot feel even anything. He cannot express what he's feeling. He cannot figure out what he's going through at this moment. Have you ever broken any bond in your life? And I did 2 times. Normally 10 or 15 seconds, right after you broke your, bone, you become numb, literally. Your whole body becomes numb. You cannot think anything. You don't feel even hurt, just numb. Your brain becomes just numb. And God touched Jacob. The Almighty God, the King of the universe, touched Jacob and broke his centered bond. It hurt so badly, and Jacob lost all his control of his life. I believe that Jacob experienced a near death at this moment. He felt like he died. And Jacob said, God said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." That's what God said. So now I broke you, so my mission has been accomplished. That's why I came here, to break you. So I'm going to leave because I fulfilled what I wanted to do with you. God was fierce. God did not spare Jacob at this moment. He was a fierce wrestler as well. And lastly, God is a healing wrestler. God healed Jacob at the same time. Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." We should not think that Jacob is still, full of energy here. Jacob is now totally broken. He's virtually dashed to the ground. Now we observe the outcome of God's breaking or hurting Jacob. It's like a fierce storm had just passed by and everything's gone. Now, after the fierce storm, you see that everything's gone. But you find some things there and you find some residue of the fierce storm. Likewise, the result of God's work can be found in the words of Jacob. God broke him totally, but now we can see what came about from this brokenness of Jacob. Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Don't think that still Jacob is doing his best to cling to God. I believe that Jacob has lost all his power. He even cannot stand before God. But it is God who sustains Jacob. He held Jacob. And Jacob doesn't have any power But one thing he can say is that, bless me. Bless me. It is the grace of God which caused these words to be uttered. Bless me, Lord. It was not out of Jacob's self-interest. It is God who made Jacob confess that, bless me, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So God finds his own result, the result of his own work, which he has done for Jacob, and looks at him saying that, what is your name, by the way? God knows his name, but God asks, what is your name? And Jacob answered, my name is Jacob. What God is doing here is that, Jacob, why don't you confess who you really are? I wounded you so that you could realize who you really are. I almost broke you to the death so that you could realize, confess who you really are. And Jacob said, I am a loser. That's who I am. I am a deceiver. That's who I am. I am a supplanter. That's who I am. I am nothing but a worm. That's who I am. Finally, Jacob confronts with who he really is for the first time in his life. And God continues to say, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. The minute Jacob confesses that he is nothing but a worm, he is nothing but a loser, he is a deceiver, he starts to find his another identity in God. Israel, that's a paradoxical aspect of our faith. Let me quote Matthew Henry quickly. You shall be celebrated not for craft management, but for true valor strength. You shall be called Israel, a prince with God, greater than those of the great men of the earth. So what God is trying to do is that, did you just say that you are nothing but a worm? Did you just confess that you are nothing but a loser? Let me tell you, no one can belittle you. No one can harm you. No one can be against you because you're not a loser in Christ. You are a new creation in Christ. The blood of Christ is flowing in you. Who can be against you? I crushed my own son. I didn't crush you to the death, but I crushed my son, my only begotten son, for you. Don't, you're not going to be called again a worm, a deceiver, a loser. You are a child of God. You're my daughter. You're my son. I'm not sure if you know this person. His name is John Calvin. One of the famous pastors in history. He said, our knowledge of God and our knowledge of ourselves are intertwined, interwoven. That's exactly right. Jacob had just begun to realize and confess who he really is, but at the same time, finally, Jacob desired to know God. He has never wanted to know God so far. He never did. If you read the book of Genesis, he has never tried to know God at a personal level. But now Jacob desires to know God. He asks God, please tell me your name. It is not a conceptual knowledge anymore. God is not someone who stands at a distance from me. God is not a someone who visits me every once in a while whenever I need some help. No, God is the one who dwells in me. God is the one who dwells in me. That's what Jacob finds. That's what Jacob desires. Lord, now I get to know that you will not leave me forever. Now my heart desires to know you. I want to have you more. Would you please bless me with your own character, with your own heart? Would you please bless me with your own person? I want to feel you. I want to know you. Lord, would you please be with me? And God answered, why is it that you ask my name? In other words, Jacob or Israel, I know you know me. You don't have to ask me. I know you know me because I had just put my own person, my heart in you. That's what I have just done for you. I have put my heart in you. You know who I am now. And I'm not gonna leave you. I'm not gonna forsake you forever. I found a very interesting quote, and I'll read. It is from James Boyce. Jacob lost his wrestling match with God. God touches his hip and he's permanently wounded. But in the divine logic, which is beyond our understanding, this loss is Jacob's victory. For at last, Jacob surrenders himself. He wins by losing and is now able to go on in new strength as God's man. God wounded Jacob to what? To heal him. God almost crushed Jacob in order to heal him. And Jacob won the game by losing. Isaiah 41:14 says, fear not, you worm Jacob. I am the one who helps you, declares the Lord. Your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. Fear not, you worm Jacob. I'm not gonna leave you. I'm the one who's gonna protect you forever. In our text, verse 30, Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been delivered. The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Originally, the sermon title was going to be, bless me, this loser. But I thought it was too much. I guess I got rid of this loser. Because, bless me this loser, yeah, that has been my prayer almost every day this year. That was all. Lord, bless me this loser. Can you imagine this limping Jacob? He limps. He cannot walk well. He feels his total pain. He feels like he's a loser. That's true. This limping Jacob, this pathetic Jacob. Lord, that's me. But God has blessed me. And I get to know that my life is all about him. My life is all about him. What about you, dear brothers and sisters? Do you confess? Can you confess that your life is all about God? I want to ask you maybe a little bit different question. How was 2014 for you? December 29, 2013, on Sunday night, in God's providence, I preached here at night. So I preached the last sermon in 2013 at Cedar Church. Did you know that? And I preached on John 15. So let me quote only one verse. John 15, 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. I preached on this text to you that I can confess I love. Did you know that? I love you, dear brothers and sisters. And God has blessed me, this loser, a lot through you. Let me close with a conclusion from the sermon on John 15 in 2013. I said to you, I'm just reading, I'm preaching Christ to you, who is my friend and who also must be your friend. He's tender. He will be faithful to you. He will never betray you. Repent of your sins. Abide in the everlasting word of Christ. Abide in the love of Christ. And go and bear fruit in the name of Christ. And prove that you are his friend. I hope that 2014 will be full of joy in Christ with you. No, let me change. I pray, dear brothers and sisters, that 2015 will be full of joy in Christ with you. Let's pray. Oh Father, we are so thankful for your mercy. You have been the same all the time. You have been faithful to us. And we know that you are going to be faithful to us forever. Would you please bless everyone here? Would you please take them into your heart and protect them? We pray for the sake of Christ. Amen.